Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
Let's stand together. Bobby, put that up on the screen and let's say Psalm 23 together. You want to stand? That's great. Okay. Everybody together, let's say it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right. Go ahead and take a seat. This is week three. Next week will be the last week and the last chance to connect on that. Now remember, we're in a summer-long series on the Psalms, okay? So we're studying different Psalms. A palm is praise, balm. Psalms is healing, calm. Psalms is peace. And alms psalms is about charity or giving. And you'll see some of these elements spread throughout the 23rd Psalm. And I don't know, have I ever told you guys that way back, Kathy and I, before we got married, nice to have Kathy back. Kathy and I, before we got married, worked on a Sunday school bus. Our church had buses that went out to some of the areas around the city and picked children up and brought them to Sunday school. I used to sit on the front of the bus, this before I ever had ever preached or anything, and I would sit on the bus and play my guitar, and the kids would sing. And on Saturday mornings, we'd go around and visit door to door and share with the families. And we had probably, I don't know, 40 or 50 kids that came on this Sunday school bus. Every Sunday morning, we brought them to church. We did that for a couple of years. And that would have been like 1981, 1982, around in there. Then in 1985, so 3 years later, out of the blue, the phone rang, and to that point, it was the worst phone call that I had ever received in my life. One of the families, the mother's name was Cheryl Elliott, and her daughter's name was Sherry. Probably her name was Cheryl too, and they called her Sherry. She was in the downtown of the city where Kathy and I both grew up, and she must have looked the wrong way, stepped off a curb, and was flattened by a city bus. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about heartache. I drove over to those parents' home. I was 21, 22 years old myself, like Jay hopes to be in a few years. And how old are you, man?
27.
I missed that. AJ, he's like 16 or something, right? 21, this is you, I was your age. And I had nothing for these parents. What do you say? I mean, they're sobbing throughout the house. I think I read a bit of scripture. I know that I prayed with them. They didn't even have anyone to call. They were in bed sleeping after a big Saturday night. And we take their kids to Sunday school. They thought that was the greatest thing in the world. We don't have to worry about them for a while. I stood up at the front of a little chapel at a funeral home, and I shared some scriptures, and I didn't have any idea that in becoming a pastor, I would have that experience repeat itself several times since then. I have stood at the front of the church beside tiny caskets more times than I would care to retell. But between that and marital betrayal and the sudden loss of a spouse or a child. I mean, I know what the darkest valley is, and I knew it by visiting with others before I had ever been there myself. And this passage of scripture that we're going into now, these next verses, this is one of those messages like, you know, when you see on the wall a glass box and a red thing inside, usually an alarm, maybe an axe or a fire extinguisher, and it says, in case of fire, what? Break glass, not important, break the glass, get what you need in case of fire. This is a message like that. This is a message like, I hope you don't need it right now. I know that a lot of the men, when they come to rock bottom, need it right then. I've needed it, you've needed it, and it's quite likely that we'll need it again, okay? So the title of the message, you got that? The title of the message is, What to Do in the Darkest Valley. There it is. It's not going to take us a long time to go through these verses, but I want to make it clear what they mean, and I want us to feel something about what they mean, and I want you to have this in your heart and mind. I don't like guys on their phones texting when I'm talking, and I don't see anyone doing that now, no one, but I would be comfortable with you picking up your phone and going to a note, and in your note putting what to do in the darkest valley, okay? I got five things that I want you to remember in the darkest valley. They come right out of Psalm 23, all right? And here's the first one. You're not alone. You're not alone. And that's the phrase in the 23rd Psalm that says, He guides me in paths of righteousness. A path, a couple things about a path. Number one, when you're walking on a trail, you might be walking and holding hands, but when you get to a path, that's single file. You're following the shepherd. The sheep are in single file following the shepherd. And often when you are led into the path of righteousness, the path means course of action, life direction, pattern or behavior. When you're led into a path, a particular circumstance, life has many paths, right? How many people have spent some time on the wrong path? Anybody? Wrong path, man. I'm on the wrong path. I could walk on this path forever, and it would never get me to a good place. The path of addiction. Never the right path. Always over promises, under delivers. Someone say amen. Amen. Right? That's why we're here. So, paths are single file. They're not all good. Some paths are obviously wrong and destructive. There are some paths that appear to be right, but they're actually wrong. Do we have Psalm 16:11? Is, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand on the path are pleasures forevermore. But it also says two times in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. I want you to just read that to yourself and think about it for a minute. There is a way that seems right, true or false. But in the end, who would ever go down that? It's a way of death. And so this idea here that God guides us or leads us in paths of righteousness. What are some paths of righteousness? I don't want you to put up your hand, but did you read the 23rd Psalm this week? Did you take some time and open the Word yourself and see? I told you that reading the Word is going to affect your faith. And it doesn't matter to me if it takes you a week or a month or a year to get there. I'm going to keep telling you the same thing, okay? This book will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. One of those two things. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If you read the Word of God, your faith will grow. You won't be able to stop it from happening. If you memorize the 23rd Psalm, it will grow your faith. You won't be able to stop it from happening. The Word of God is alive. It's living and active, the Scripture says. And so here we're looking in the Word of God at this phrase,
He guides me in paths of righteousness, literally, or paths that produce righteousness. And what is the path? Righteousness is right living. What is the path that produces right living more than any other path? Anybody want to take a stab at that? The path of God, for sure. But it's a particular path. It's the path that God leads us down or guides us down. Come on, we're going this way. Yeah, it results in righteousness, but the path that results in righteousness, he leads me in paths of righteousness. I'm sure you'll relate to this. It's the pathway of suffering. Nothing produces change in a man or a woman like suffering. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if we grew through all the good times? And you think that my daughter won't talk to me. I can't seem to hold a job. I'm battling every day. Yes, yes, yes. But those are the things that got you to listen to the Word of God like you're doing right now. God has led you into a path of righteousness. The things that have been hard for you, the suffering things for you, those are the things that have brought you to a place where you can really get your life going in a better direction. Amen? Amen. And so he guides me in paths of righteousness, paths of human hardship. I want to put up four phrases here. You can just put them up all at once is great. The first one is no growth without rain. We're going to see that in the garden, aren't we, brother? No growth without rain. No roses without, say it. Pruning. There's no roses coming without pruning. The Bible says he that bears fruit, he prunes that he may bear more fruit. No diamonds without pressure. No gold without fire. Precious things, and you are precious to God. Amen. Even if you don't think you are, believe me, you are precious to God. He gave his son for you. The pain is the gain. Let's say these four phrases together. Come on, lift up your voice. Number one, no growth without rain. Two, no roses without. Number three, no diamonds without pressure. And number four, no gold without fire. Okay? That's the way it really works. So, I mean, the Psalm 23 is not quite as chill as we thought it was, is it? Last week we learned that he makes me lie down. And I told you about the lamb and the broken leg and the suffering that keeps me in a place that I need to be. That's why, and I've seen it now, I've seen it here. The better you do in an Act Like Men ministry, the less likely you are to believe that you need what this is. The stronger you get, the more confident you will become that you're fine. The longer you listen to the lies in your head, I can handle it now, the closer you are to getting back to where you were. And so God is not opposed at all to guiding us into paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness or paths of suffering? If you're having a tough time, if things are difficult right now, good. 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 There'll be some change. There'll be some growth. And you never find a better place than this. You'll never be more loved. You'll never be more surrounded. Even in a house where the manager is trying to burn it to the ground. You, even in a place like that. That's part of the suffering, right? That's going to be not funny in a year. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so you're not alone. God is with you on that path of righteousness. Number two, the way that I like to say this is you're raising the flag. Everybody look at the Bible, and whether you're listening to this recording or whether you're here with us in the room, look at the Bible, Psalm 23. It says, he guides me in paths of righteousness. Four words, what are they? For his name's sake. What? I thought you just said he was doing it for me. He is doing it for you. He's doing it for you, for himself.
God is all about displaying the superiority of the life lived in faith, the life lived in God. God wants you to go through the same things as people that don't have God. Why? So you can lean on Him, so you can get strong through Him, so you can testify about Him. God wants you to do that. And so I call it waving the flag, you know? And I wish I had brought a flag. I said, a little flag is kind of like, well, I haven't given up yet. No, I'm not going to use the American flag. Chuck. Just because you have the American flag on your right shoulder. I'm still here. And then there's like, you know, a flag like, I haven't given up. And then there's a flag like, I'm living in victory. I'm living in victory. We had a guy today that almost ran Kathy off the road. He had his pickup truck. He had a flag out the back of that thing that was bigger than the truck itself. And he was doing his own little military parade for the president's birthday. But raising the flag is a big deal. People with God in their life suffer financial problems just like people who don't have God. People who are wounded by family relationships, people who are experiencing health problems, people who have lost loved ones or suffered other great loss. Make a note of this. I am displaying, do we have that? I am displaying the reality of God in me. Either it's real or it isn't. Either it's true or it's false. Either it's making a difference or it isn't making a difference, right? And so God leads me into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's the second thing you should remember in a dark valley. You're not alone, and it matters. You're raising the flag. This is your chance. This is prime time. This is like dun, 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 you know? This is the time to give your all. And this has really been meaningful to me. You will get through this. You will get through this. Notice the phrase, yes, or even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But before I even tell you what the valley of the shadow of death means, just notice the word, what's the best word in that sentence? Yeah, that's in my sentence. But what's the best word in the biblical sentence? Even though I walk through, where is it? It's through. Even though I walk through. Why is that so good? I'm coming out the other side. Turn to somebody next to you and say, this isn't forever. You know, this isn't forever, but I'll tell you this. You'll look back on the times when your life got on a different course, and you'll treasure these times. You're like, those were awesome times in my life. I wish I could get back to when I was really taking those big steps and getting my life on a new course. So you will get through this. This is a picture of a friend of mine. He's a very well-known preacher, like maybe I was at one time. This is Greg Laurie. And Greg, this is at our house. And Greg was in town preaching at one of our events at the church that we used to pastor. And I was remembering this week for some reason, a mutual friend of ours, whose name I'm not going to share because I don't have his permission to share it. But I'll never forget where I was sitting when Greg told me the story of his dear friend, a man who is like a very, very high-end designer. He designed a lot of the book covers and the books that I wrote as an example, and he designed a lot of logos for my ministry. And one day he went to pick up his daughter at a birthday party, and he thought, well, it's a beautiful day in California, and he had this little roadster, not especially fast, but really kind of cool looking, you know. He picked up his daughter. They were driving home from the birthday party. He looked over at his daughter in the passenger seat and said, love you, honey, and she said, love you more, Daddy. And somebody swiped past him, and he turned his wheel. The front wheel hit the curb. This is going 20 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour. But this roadster hit the curb. The car flipped over on her side, and his daughter was killed instantly.
And all of a sudden, in a moment, he's standing right there. I wept when Greg told me that story, as he did, a mutual friend, a great suffering. Little did we realize that less than 10 years later, Greg had two sons, and his oldest son was driving from Riverside, California, back to where they lived in Orange County. And he was killed in an accident on the freeway. Same thing, flipped his vehicle over. And that's very personal to my heart, because in 2001, I think it was, 2002, right in there, our oldest son, Luke, who pastors Good News. How many of you guys have been to Good News? See, our oldest son, Luke, he flipped his vehicle over on the freeway up north of Grand Rapids, and we had got the call. We had to go to, he was covered in blood when we got there. He broke his neck, but somehow God spared his life. And it was the third vertebrae down, which is a little appendage, actually. It's the only one that has an appendage on. That's where your skull turns around. And that appendage that sticks up was broken right off in Luke's neck. Normally, that's what thrusts into the spinal cord and kills the person or paralyzes them. And God spared him because they called it a non-displaced fracture. The bone was just sitting there, but completely broken off. And then there was months of praying that it would fuse back together. And, you know, we didn't know if he'd ever get married, let alone have four amazing children. And so I use that illustration again, the loss of a child. Because if you've ever been part of that or had that touch your family in some way, like, that's tough. Chappie knows about that. It's here's what I'll tell you. The valley of the shadow of death might be death. If the hardest thing that you ever go through in your life is dying, my mother died in 2010 of ALS. And she'd been through lots of hard things in her life, but nothing was even close to the last 2 years of her life where she sat in a bed and lost the ability to use her extremities and all the way into her chest to where she couldn't speak, then she couldn't swallow, then she couldn't breathe, and she died. That was a really tough thing for her, for all of us. In her life, the valley of the shadow of death was her death. Some people, you know, they just go out in a moment, hardly even aware of it, killed instantly. That wouldn't be the hardest thing they went through. The valley of the shadow of death is the hardest thing that you will ever go through, whether it's in death or whether it's actually in life. The Hebrew term here is literally the word death. It's a word, it's a place that the shepherd would lead the sheep. The shepherd would lead the sheep for safety, for protection, down, down, down the cliffs, down, down, down to where there's no sunlight, nothing, the very bottom, following the shepherd, the valley of the shadow of death. And as I've said already, so everything I've said before, I'm not alone. I'm raising the flag. I'm going to get through this. Even though all that's true, I walk through, that's the best part. If you have a Bible open and a pen, circle that word through in your Bible. We're going to get through this, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I've had people say, have you ever had someone say to you, you're going to get through this? Man, that used to make me so mad, because it seemed like they were minimizing it. And we can say that to each other, though, because if you've been in the valley of the shadow of death, then you know, and it's good to be able to say to each other, Fred, you're going to get through this. You are getting through it, right? You can get through this. You can get through this. Your best days can be ahead of you. Nathan has come into our homes, and I have actually known him because my family has known him for quite a few years, and so I got some good time with him this week, and it was nice to talk to somebody again who's coming into this place and be, you know, I tend to connect with the people that I've gotten to know, been here for a long time. But that sense of your life is in the balance. Everything rises or falls right here. It's all on the line now. If there's going to be me in 2026, things got to get different. We had that conversation, didn't we? So
Last two things. Here they come. I'm not alone. I'm raising the flag. I will get through this. And then this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Next five words. Boom. Jot this down. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. No fear. Say it.
No fear.
No fear. I have nothing to fear. The choices are at my disposal. I'm at a good place. I can do the right thing. I can leave this behind. I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to fear. I will fear no evil. David was facing the future with 100% confidence in God. But I've seen this. It's not the event we fear. It's not tomorrow that we fear. It's not the result. What it really is the ultimate. Where is this going to end up? What is the future for me? What will become of my life? Will the things that grieve me be resolved? Will the things that hurt me be healed? Will the things that beset me be overcome? That's where the fear comes from. Not today, not tomorrow. We've managed a lot. But where is this going? And so I love this phrase, regardless of where it's going, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. All right, this is one of my favorite little stories. It's not silly, but it is quaint. Two Scotsmen were arguing, as Scotsmen are like to do. I'm Scottish. Anybody else here Scottish? Do you like to argue too? Okay, good. Two Scotsmen were arguing about which was the best verse on trusting God. The first one said, well, I like Isaiah 12:2, which says, what time I am afraid, I will trust. The other Scotsman smiled to himself and he said, oh no, he says, I much prefer. Oh yeah, The first guy said, Psalm 8:8, what time I am afraid, I will trust. The other guy smiled and said, Isaiah 12:2, I will trust and not be afraid. See? Because, yeah, the one's a little bit above the other. The first one, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust. Second one is, and this is what I love, I will trust and not be afraid. You learn that over time. No reason to fear. You have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Say it again. I have nothing to fear. And then lastly, you are safe and secure. You are safe and secure. This is the phrase, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And who uses a rod and a staff? Shepherd. Okay. And I'll just define those. The rod is literally a club. It's used to fend off wild beasts, often tipped with metal or studded nails. You don't want to get hit with the rod. And then the staff, that's the hooked cane-looking piece. And that's used to guide and control the sheep to keep them in the right place. Together, they're a picture of how God cares. With the rod, he corrects us. With the staff, he protects us. So I am safe because he protects me. I am secure. Some of you grew up in homes where you were not disciplined properly. And some of you grew up in homes where you were not disciplined properly, not because of the lack of discipline, but because of too much discipline. Both are terrible. Too much discipline, an angry man or woman, destructive. Not enough discipline, think too highly of yourself, not good either. We should learn to love the rod and the staff. God corrects us. God protects us. I love these verses. Five things to remember. In case of fire, break glass. In case of the valley of the shadow of death, you're not alone. Remember that. You're raising the flag, something that is bigger at stake than me. You will get through this. You have nothing to fear. You're safe and secure. Everybody stand, and let's read these together. Remember these five things in a time of trial. Come on together. Number one.
You are not alone.
Louder. Number two.
You are raising the flag.
Thank you. Number three.
You will get through this.
Amen. Number four.
You have nothing to fear.
Number five.
You are safe and secure.
Thank you, God, for Psalm 23. Thank you for the things that it teaches. Thank you for the promises that it gives. And use your word to build our faith and to build our community and keep us in victory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everybody.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God and for loving others more and more until we see him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. Check out jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.